Happy holidays, everyone, and welcome to Meet the People of MCB, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind, with Kay Momquist and Chip Haley. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Season's greeting, everyone, and thanks for joining us for another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Momquist.
And, Madam President, I understand we have a birthday coming up in just a couple of days on Friday, December the 9th. So, I want to wish Kay Momquist, our MCB Madam President, a happy birthday.
Well, thank you for that, and I plan to have a good one, so yeah, thanks a bunch for that. And you wait, Chip, your day is coming.
Now, what, you'll be 73, 4, something like that?
Wow, no way. I am going to hit the big 6-0, and I'm proud of it.
Yes, 60 all right. 60
years old, man, yeah. It's still counting.
Well, you know, it's like Bob Hope always used to say, if the candles cost more than the cake, you know you're getting old.
Yep. I hear you there. That's why you start going by numbers.
That's right. That is right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking forward to today's interview. I think you're going to really be intrigued, fascinated. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to bring on our guest for today. Welcome, Daniel Legault.
Bonjour, noisies. That means hello, friends. This is Daniel, and very happy to be on the podcast today.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. So, Daniel, as you well know, you've said that you've listened to a number of these podcasts. So what we'd like to start off doing is having you to share with us about your vision loss. What was the cause? What was the result? So, go ahead and just share with us a little bit about your vision loss.
Okay, my vision loss is due to glaucoma. I was diagnosed with glaucoma when I was 6 months old. And from the time I was 6 months old till I was 11 and a half, I had 87 eye surgeries.
Wow.
Holy cow.
All that. And, you know, so I was in the hospital a lot. Actually, the longest I stayed out of the hospital, and this only happened once, was 2.5 months, you know, that whole time. Well, I don't mean that I was there consistently, but I mean that was the longest time between surgeries, 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just got to say that that whole thing with the modern technology, how, you know, what used to be 3 days in the hospital, now it's like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm, you know, that's not fair. I steadily lost my vision. You know, I'm growing up or whatever. I used to be able to wear glasses until I was about 8, and then, you know, well, they could keep making them thicker, but they probably wouldn't have did any good and all that. And so I just made the most of the vision I had. And, you know, while my vision did progressively decrease, up until like 2010, I could look at somebody outside in the sunlight and I could see their facial features. About 2012, I lost my ability to differentiate colors. And, probably about maybe 2 years ago now, I realized that the light that I was seeing was because I was supposed to be seeing light, not because I was actually seeing light. You know, and I finally came to that realization. And so, yeah, now here I am today. Yeah.
That totally fascinates me. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Chip, but that's exactly. People ask me when I lost my vision, and I honestly can't tell you because I'd go outside, and if it was a sunny day, I saw a sun. And one day I realized I was not seeing the sun. I was just knowing it should be there, and it was there. That is so wild that you mentioned that because that's exactly my experience.
Yeah, that's one of my things is I have an eidetic memory. So, I mean, I can remember these things that I'm telling you. I remember when I could see facial features. I remember the first time that I, you know, couldn't tell colors apart, you know. So I can just, like, actually in my mind go back, remember exactly what was what then.
I totally get it. That is so wild. I've never heard anybody express that. That's really neat. Okay, yeah, sorry about that, Chip. I just... That just fascinated me.
Yep, so, no problem. So, Daniel, you have no residual vision remaining?
Right.
Okay. No light perception or anything? Okay. Off. So you're considered totally blind, okay?
Yes.
All right. So, tell us a little bit about your family. You got brothers, sisters, parents, husband, wife, kids?
Well, I have, two living sisters and one that passed away, and then I have a brother. They all live up in the you know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin area where I grew up and all that. I do not have any children. I'm not married. I'm single and available. Send all inquiries to... Oh, no.
Okay.
No, but no.
So does any of your brothers, sisters, do they have a visual impairment as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
I guess as I understand it, this came to me from my mom's side of the family, and it occurs every five generations.
Oh, okay.
So I was the lucky one.
Yep. You got it. Yep. Okay. And Daniel, you're Native American, correct?
Yes, I am 9/16th Chippewa.
Oh, okay, very good. So you said that you came to Missouri from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. What was it actually that brought you to Missouri?
Honestly, money. But anyway, okay. And I was also dating a girl at the time, and we moved here together, and you know, we ended up, till we could find a place, spending a month in a motel. And so we got a place, and apparently the motel life kind of added up because within a week we were separated. But so I just said, hey, Missouri's nice and all that, you know, and I saw it was more to my liking than, you know, Kansas City, which I lived from, 2001 to 2004. But yeah, so I liked the, you know, all the bus system and everything down here in Springfield, and it was a good, you know, nice climate and everything. So
okay, now before we started the recording today, and Kay had already mentioned it to me that you, both of you and Kay, have known each other since you were like 7-8 years old. And you told me before we started the recording that Kay was one of those smart-witted kind of youngsters, and she always had a smart answer. So how was that? I know you guys probably weren't real well known or you know, did things together, whatever. So what was that like when you first met Kay? You mentioned that she was kind of a role model for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So my book, Kay Monquest, was really well known. But yeah, she was this girl that was a little bit older, and she always had a wisecrack or a you know, thoughts on stuff. I remember one time we were being asked our opinion on something, and her counselor asked or she had actually said, could we have a few less opinions this time, Miss Momquest? And she was like a role model. I was like, hey, I want to do that. So it's all Kay's fault if any of you, you know, are victims of my personality. It's all K-fault.
This was at a camp that we used to have up in Wisconsin called Lions Camp. And yes. It was a 2-week program for kids and stuff like that. And it was kind of neat because we all got to meet people throughout the state that we didn't normally yes. all know or see. And so that 2 weeks was just basically, well, anything goes. And
all right, Kate, go ahead and ask your questions.
Well, okay, we talked about family and your vision loss and things like that. What kind of a work history do you have, or did you go to college, or you know, education wise, or anything like that?
Okay, this is interesting because I don't know. This kind of sounds bad, but I did not really have a work history. Did not go to college. I should have, but didn't. Growing up with the eidetic memory, I loved to read. I mean, I would just pick up the encyclopedia and read it, and eidetic memory retained that information. So I was tested at a very, very high IQ when I was young, and they gave my mom the option to jump me up 2 grades, and she did not want to do it. Because she wanted me to be the same age as my classmates and all that. And the state school option was totally out, because she had negative, you know, thoughts about that. But actually the way it worked out with the curriculum, I'm glad, because that would have just, you know, bored me even more. So I stayed at the same level. I was bored in school. So I read as much as I could, kept learning. And so then, you know, couldn't be advanced or whatever. And so didn't, you know, acquire the heights that I maybe could have if I would have been able to pursue at my speed, you know, education and stuff.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't ever be... feel ashamed because so-and-so went to college and got a degree. I had a friend once tell me that sometimes the school learning the street knowledge is more important than book learning and everything else like that. It's great that you read, and I know I love to read. I like to learn things and stuff like that. But honestly, your street knowledge and what you obtain and acquire through life's experiences sometimes gives you the ability to work and do things that you would not have been able to do had you gone to college. I'm not saying going to college is a bad thing. I'm just saying that everybody learns and acquires life's lessons and stuff in different ways. Yeah, I really believe that.
It was kind of, I had got a look at the high school equivalency diploma, you know, test or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I could have did that when I was like 10 or 11, you know, so then I could have moved on. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I had a lot of interest because I read all the time, you know, and I was kind of into computers back then and I thought I knew it all and, you know.
Yeah. So you came to Missouri and you kind of liked the Springfield area and stuff. So you stayed there. How and at what point, maybe it was before then, I don't know. At what point did you get interested or introduced to MCB and how?
Okay, the way I got introduced to MCB was I moved here to Springfield in 2007 and, you know, kind of stayed to myself, made a couple of friends, but didn't really get out into the blind community. In 2013, I ended up having a heart attack and all that. And so then I started getting more out into the blind community. I have to say when I first joined MCB, it was to meet other blind people here in the community. But then I had, you know, so it was kind of like a social thing for me at first. But then I seen kind of what was, you know, being done and all that. And I was like, hey, I could do some of this. And then, you know, and then I realized because, you know, when I went in there, I was like, I do not want to get into all the political stuff, whatever, whatever, and only to find out that I'm good at that. So, you know, and so, um, So yeah, I started taking on more and more and more responsibilities and all that, and unfortunately my affiliate closed because we just, you know, we weren't replacing our officers with people. And so, but it came down to that, you know, we just didn't have people in that were qualified for the office, and we only kind of had one worker, and you know, that can't happen. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, and so it's interesting, guys, because I've had conversations with Daniel, and I've seen him be frustrated about what's going on, what's not happening, what is happening, and the guy, he really, you're talking with somebody and you're listening to somebody that really, really cares and seems to really have a lot of the Springfield area MCB interest at heart, for sure. Chip, do you have any questions? I'm sure you do.
I sure do. So, Daniel, here now you are a member of MCB, and I know that you've held various positions. You were president of Queen City there in Springfield. You have been MCB scholarship chair. You were nominated and were awarded the member of the month at one time. And so you've been able to do a lot of these different things. Is there anything in your time as a member of MCB that stands out in your mind that you've really thoroughly enjoyed? I know, too, you've also served your affiliate as their board rep. And tell us some of the services and programs that MCB offers that you thoroughly enjoy.
Well, I enjoy mostly, you know, doing all those things and, you know, trying to make a positive difference and all that. So that's kind of, you know, if I am interested in a cause, then I will, you know, do my best to do that. If I take a position, I'm going to do my best to fulfill that position to the best of my ability. So, you know, I really enjoyed being scholarship chair and a board rep and, you know, helping make decisions and all that. And, you know, it's good to know that, you know, I would be out there making a difference, and that's kind of, you know, what I kind of live for, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. is the acknowledgement that people know, oh, hey, he's really nice. He's really helpful. You know, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you're currently, is it Library Users or Braille Revival League or both that you're a member of?
I am in both because okay. Those are both very, very, much things that I support. Of course, you know, picking up the book just because, you know, picking up books just because it was nothing else for me to do, you know, the encyclopedia or whatever. I love Braille. Braille needs to stay around.
Oh, I agree. You betcha. You got that right.
And you know, like I've established so many times, I love to read. So library, good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I can understand a Braille having a real definite place in your life, and Braille should, you know, technology should never replace Braille. And I know there's always been that point that sometimes people get the idea that technology, today's technology, can easily replace Braille, but no, it certainly cannot. So as someone who is blind, legally blind, you live alone. How is it that Daniel Legault, do you use different technology to maintain, keep your independence? And, so how does that work? Share with us what life is like for Daniel Legault living alone with a visual impairment.
Okay, well, I use technology. I got my two best friends here, Alexa and Google. And, you know, I did not realize just how much of friends they are to me until I went a couple months without them, and oh, that was terrible. I have a Victor Trek, so, you know, I mean, not that I ever had any kind of problem, no matter what, like, city I was in or what state or whatever, of getting out and, you know, walking around learning the neighborhood I was in and all that. But now when I do it with the trek, I can find out street names. And so, you know, that's kind of a good thing in a way. Let's see what else. And I am a holdout. I have a flip phone. It's like a military grade flip phone that it's probably gonna be the last one made. And so I'm holding out because, you know, not to sound like an old man, but, you know, back in my day, we would pick up a phone, we would push 7 to 10 numbers, and someone would say hello. Nowadays, you have to play a theremin, and then you, and then, you know, whatever. Or actually, I should actually make that more of a general thing. You conduct an orchestra, and then you can maybe talk.
Yeah.
So I'd rather, you know, kick it old school, just push numbers, someone says hello.
Yeah. Well, too, Daniel, you know, MCB, and this is the thing that kind of brought me into the organization back in 1990. There was a gentleman, he had a guide dog. I had just gotten a guide dog. And so that kind of was a real interest that both of us shared with each other. But I wanted to ask you, the time now that you spent with MCB, I'm sure that you've been able to establish relationships. You mentioned, you know, your time as a small boy growing up, you knew Kay. Is there any special relationships that you've been able to establish with someone in MCB?
I have made some very, very dear friends, you know, people that became very, very dear to me in MCB. And, you know, I, believe it or not, you know, was kind of into the whole phone world back in the day, as, you know, many, just about all blind people are. And so MCB also gave me an opportunity to meet in person some people I'd been talking to for years and years over the phone and, you know, all that. And like I said, so I made some very, very good, you know, long time friends in MCB.
Oh, good. Very good. That's what I like to hear. I'm going to turn it over to Kay, but before I do, you mentioned earlier that you had sustained a heart attack. And even before we started the recording, you mentioned that we caught you really at a good time because you were looking at scheduling cardiac rehab. So
I was actually sitting in the chair about to start my exercises. I had my original heart attack back in 2013, and they had to put in two stents at that time. And, you know, and what's kind of ironic is that you know, they say those stents last about 10 years. Well, on September 15th of this year, which was, I had to stick it out, 9 years, 8 months, and 28 days after my first heart attack, you know, I ended up having another heart attack. And, you know, so then, but I kind of bounced back from that. And like I said, I'm doing cardiac rehab, and, you know, that's doing exercises to build up strength and whatnot. And
good. I tell you, Daniel, I'm really glad that you're still with us. So, yeah, thank God that you're doing those exercises. So keep up the good work. Okay, I'll turn it over to you.
And you said you were in rehab when you had your heart attack?
No. I go to cardiac rehab now after the heart attack.
Okay, I got it. Yep. Well, I guess I think I'm missing something here, and I don't know. But I have a question that I ask everybody, and that we were talking and you said something and I thought I should mention it. Now I can't remember what it was. But anyway, I have a question that I ask everybody. And that question is there anything that Daniel Legu does or is interested in or whatever that only maybe your closest friends know about and that everybody else might actually find interesting? Is there anything you can think of like that?
Oh, yeah, I guess you yeah, I can make something work. You know, I grew up like I said in, you know, Milwaukee and all that, and I went through this period where if a sighted kid could do it, I could do it. So I've done a lot of things that, you know, most blind people should not do. And if I could go back, I would smack myself and not do it. But, you know, like all that. But I've also obtained a lot of interesting skills. I grew up my first 30-some years in Milwaukee. Then I moved for a winter, God knows why, to Buffalo, New York. So I got to learn what winter is really like. I didn't know nothing. But then I ended up moving to, like I said, Kansas City. And then I moved to Pennsylvania, and I was dating this girl, Leslie. Well, unfortunately, she had suffered renal failure. And so, you know, I went in there and I helped her through her hemodialysis. Well, then hemodialysis wasn't working, you know, very well. So they had to put her on the peritoneal dialysis, which is the stuff you do at home. And me and her, we did that for probably 3 or 4 months, not a problem. And then they took her into the nursing home and they cut her tube several times and all this other stuff. And then people with the eyeballs. But anyway, so I guess the moral of that is, you know, you can do whatever you want to do or you need to do. And, you know, like I said, these two blind people had no problem doing peritoneal dialysis. But the people with the medical knowledge and eyeballs couldn't quite handle it as good.
Yep. Okay. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's amazing how a person can adapt when they really have to. So
yes, absolutely.
No question. Yeah. Okay, Chip, I'm going to hand it back to you.
All right. So, Daniel, you know, with your Native American background and the culture, do you see, is there anything that we as a blind consumer organization can do to reach out to the Native American culture and be able to make a connection there? What do you see, or what can MCB do better, if whatever we may not be doing, that we could better serve the Native American community?
Oh, geez. That one I do not know. And I phone a friend, I'd call Deanna. But no, anyway. Yeah. Because I don't know. They really kind of don't intersect, except for the fact that, you know, some of the MCB members happen to be Native American. But, I don't really see...
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. Well, then let me ask you this. This is maybe an easier question for you. I know you've gone through a number of different life's experiences, and surely you've learned so many wonderful things. Is there any words of encouragement that you can offer to our listeners today that would help them maybe face and overcome challenges, or, you know, be able to accept their blindness? What would you say to our listeners today? What words of encouragement would you offer?
I would say that, you know, well, if you're newly blinded or whatever, just, you know, keep your chin up and know that there's other people that have been through it before you, and just reach out and talk to people you know, there's always ways that you can accomplish what you wanna, you know, do or whatever, and just always do the best you can. Try to think, you know, more about what can I do as opposed to what I can't do.
Yeah.
And just try to always do your best. And, you know, in like the way you act, the way you interact with people, always, you know, be honest and just, like I said, try to do your best.
That's good. That's very, very good. Thank you for sharing that with us, Daniel. Daniel, I know too, at this year's MCB State Convention, we had a Western night, Friday night hospitality. I thought that was really great. We had folks dressing up in their Western attire, and we had some dressing up in their Native American attire. Now, you didn't dress up that night, did you?
No, I did not, because unfortunately, with my heart attack, I could not get the you know outfit I wanted. But I was going to go authentic. I mean, I even have bear grease, which you know Indians wore, and that's how the animals didn't know
yeah.
their
yeah.
scent.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever smelled bear grease, but then blind people would know I was coming to me.
I was
going to
say, yeah, that, and I have, and you could just follow Daniel around just by his aroma. I promise you that.
Yeah, but you know, so I was going to do the whole bear grease thing, and just you know, not only this is how a Native American looks, this is how he smells.
Well, yep. Yeah, Daniel, we want to thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to have you here on Meet the People of MCB. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I know Kay had as well. So we want to thank you so very, very much for being our special guest.
Yeah,
thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, it's been when Chip suggested it, and we had talked about it, and we were looking for somebody, and he said, well, what about Daniel? I said, yeah, let's do it. That'd be a great interview. And you know what? It has been, and I've really appreciated you taking the time to talk with us as well.
Well, you know, Daniel, too, one of the things that I've always appreciated about you when you were on the board, and we don't get enough of this actually, but I mean, you weren't the type of person that just always easily agreed with everything that was being shared.
You
oftentimes would take a different position just to get us thinking about, you know, more about than, you know, everybody just agreeing. And I always appreciated that about you. So where does that come from?
That probably comes from my Native Americanness. I mean, if there's a situation or a problem, I think about it. I think about it from all sides, you know, all positions. And I put a lot of thought into it. And that's when I come up with my decisions. So any decision that I make as something that's been well thought out. And, you know, I played all scenarios in my mind. And if it makes, you know, or the path that makes the most sense is the one that I try to follow.
Okay, that's wise. Very, very wise. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or if you want to, you can contact me, Kay Malmquist, at 608-436-2610.
And ladies and gentlemen, be sure to call Kay, send her a text, email her, wish her happy birthday. I know that she would thoroughly enjoy that. So once again, thank you everybody for joining us today. Have a great week, and we'll catch you right back here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Bye-bye for now.